enthusiastic towards to agricultural and farmland knowledge in the West, the countries in the West, right? And then the second thing that I do wanted to dive deeper is how you talk about how to kind of really find that this is something that can help you to become to the level that self-actualization, which is be rewarded and enjoy and be really dedicated into the thing that you do, although you didn't realize it was like this in the beginning, yeah. Right? Yeah. So when you mention about, after a few years, I realized this thing can mm-hmm. be rewarding. Mm-hmm. And then seems like you went through this journey, like a mental journey of course, in the beginning, you brought up the great point of like, hey, you have abilities to do this. So they might not necessarily align with specific majors in university because the university majors never really completely align with what's really happening and needed in the real world, yeah. Right? Yeah. So we always need this mindset, and this is another skill to be able to apply what we know and learn in the university with our majors to the real jobs. But when you get that, that is the transition point where it needs another sort of like the stage of adaptation, and a lot of people struggle with that. They have a hard time to accept what it is, and it seems like you took some time to accept it, and then you brought up this really important process, which is we need to dedicate it to putting to work, and after a few time or long time, we can see the result, and the result is somewhere give us positive feedback and rewarding feeling.
Yes, so as I was mentioning, you got your latest skills and you want to work on that, and you think that you will economically and financially will be well off by applying those skills.
Mm-hmm.
But the opportunity opens up with another skill that you have, and then you have to work a bit more in developing skills. But perhaps it's not as well paid as what you expected.
In the beginning.
But perhaps later you will realize, in my case, was like I start doing education in mm-hmm. elementary schools, doing gardening education and outdoor education with here in SFU. And that is something different and rewarding.
Mm.
It's a rewarding, like people here, for instance, in SFU, we had a gardener joined to our gardening cohort, not being quite convinced that gardening was my thing, but again, he stuck with me, learning, came to the workshops, we slowly learned, and suddenly that person developed her love for gardening, became Green Thumb, passionate about that, that later led to that person to start a community garden in her neighborhood.
I kind of want to do that now.
And so, like, for me, that was regarding, like, I knew that person was, like, a bit like, I'm no Green Thumb, I'm a Brown Thumb, whatever I touch, I kill. And later, 2 years later, I started a community garden in my neighborhood.
Right.
So this is the awesome reward, like, you have, like, there is no economical reward. It's just a personal reward, like, oh, what I have done, what I have, my input to the community, my input to the society,
right.
And to the well-being, not only just one person, but now it has duplicated that effort to someone, to another community. So that is something that we don't plan.
Mm.
And something like, I never thought I was going to be so proud of that.
Right.
As well, besides growing, doing gardening, outdoor learning with SFU. I do outdoor learning in elementary schools.
Right.
When the children realize that they like to be outdoors, that it's fascinating just picking from the garden, eating from the garden, finding earthworms, digging. And later they're like your best friends. So sometimes I walk in the community and everybody knows me, everybody greets me. It's like, great.
Yeah.
So, and then it's kind of you become this figure like, I want to be like you. And children say, I want to be a gardener. I want to grow food.
Mm.
And you see, if we have people who have been growing in an agricultural environment, in a country with agricultural traditions, we tend to think like, oh, agriculture is not for me. I want to shake that from my from my past or from my family because I want something different.
Right.
But it's because perhaps there is didn't have the opportunity to see how the knowledge in agriculture has could influence other people.
I highly agree with that. Actually, I find something that I really wanted to bring up is that sometimes we are kind of getting to a tunnel vision where we're just looking for this thing and we didn't get it, so we're not happy. But actually thinking about we're kind of like getting a lot of things aligned with what we are doing. For example, a lot of people are working really hard trying to get a position in universities, right? And then they're trying to educate people. They're trying to get a job which allows us to sit in this environment and associating with people who are highly educated, highly passionate about things, and then they have the spirit to learn, right? And that's something that we can hardly get in the industry. So when we're looking for this, maybe people don't find it, and or they find it, maybe some people like, I know a lot of people, right? They get some like part-time jobs or like opportunities that just want them to get into the environment. But let's say if I'm someone who like you, right? Like if I was thinking about I want to be somewhere in the United Nations or something, and I probably would be like, I want to go there. But maybe when I get there, I'm not doing the things that I exactly plan to do. Then I will always be like, oh, I think there's something that's just kind of missing. But when we kind of like expand our vision, we realize that, oh, the whole environment is kind of nourishing to me, at least. So that way, it probably is the reason or one of the reasons that takes us longer time to realize why I actually like this, because there's so many factors than just one specific task. Right. So this is what I see, because I love the environment that provided by the campus, by the universities. Mm-hmm. I love associating with people here. They all passionate or maybe less passionate, but then they all like to discover things, explore things, and kind of open to the different kind of opinions. Right. So this is one thing that I really wanted to share from what I hear from your story. And another thing that you mentioned is very interesting is that this kind of fulfilling experience, right, that you did not expect to get through education.
Yep.
And I feel like there's also another thing that from Chinese situation is where, like, before we were like more of like farmers than people living in the urbans, but now it has the trend that people go back to countryside, and the whole country started to really take it seriously towards to agriculture, towards to like planting nature. So now we're actually pretty advanced in using, I don't know how to say, but like let's say produce electricity through wind, through this all nature thing in China. Yeah. And China is doing pretty good. So like I said, you never know what the trend will go. So at one point you're doing this, but then next 10 years, the next decade, your skills, your position become super important, and then you get economical rewards, and then you totally did not expect.
Yeah. And that's also, we have to be aware that at this stage of my life, like, can't all the skills have their own field and their respectable skills? You know, growing food is as respectable as being a plumber or doing electricity or electrician. It's very respectable, or somebody who is teaching, because we have our own expertise. You know, I do have my degrees,
yeah.
But that thing influenced me when I'm in Nice teaching to 3 years old, and rolling together looking for earthworms and ants.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, oh, I'm here having fun, and we are with a young person who is interested in finding nature interesting. And my role is to guide that person and be more interested. I say, oh, you shouldn't hurt the animal. You shouldn't hurt. We take care of the nature. That is fantastic. That is completely... I haven't been trained for that.
Yes.
I have developed those skills on the go.
Mm.
So nowadays, sometimes people ask me, how you study education? Do you have a degree in education? No.
Yeah.
But I did my degrees. I have got all my education. And now I'm just enjoying and being happy with what I'm doing. So
yeah.
That's also the realization, like, perhaps not what you expected, but now you are doing the job and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it and see the rewards. And the more you do it, you will feel that there are some gaps in there. You try to fill those gaps with knowledge. And suddenly you realize, like, oh, I've been doing this job for so long.
Yeah, and then you grow some other skills on top of it, right? For example, like, when I'm doing this show, I totally didn't expect this this platform, this resource, because I was just like, I was doing social media, but then I don't know, I cannot find my niche, and nobody doing this for social media on the Chinese platform. So I basically created my niche, just like, you
that's
know.
That's right, yep.
Yeah, exactly.
You create your own niche. Yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you find the resources, but then when the opportunity came, like, I was like, my English is not perfect to host a live show. I don't have an experience to work in the radio station. And there's so many things that I couldn't, right? I cannot organize the things that, especially nobody's doing this live streaming in the radio show. So nobody can teach me. But at the same time, when I just have a little bit knowledge of talking to the camera, and then I love talking to people, learning from their journeys, and then I started from there.
Yeah.
And then now I can organize a lot of other things. I'm more or less shy or feel less intimidated when I reach out to people, say, hey, can you come to my show?
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to talk to you. So I grow a lot of other, not just skills, but mindset out from doing one thing, which I started with the very basic skills with some other things. And I see that from your story as well, where you did PhD, and probably if you just tell somebody who, like, there's a person who's super smart and did PhD, have like this rich experience in understanding environment science, but then talking about like growing plants or growing foods, there would be like, oh, seems like there's a skills or knowledge gap where you probably don't need this, such experience and such intelligence to do this thing. However, PhDs normally ended up to like more related to high education, that kind of thing. So you, for example, your story kind of reflect my story, is that sometimes I want to go somewhere or we want to go somewhere and we take a detour. So now you're still doing like education that's highly related to your degree, and I can actually see it that in the future maybe you're getting hired as like environmental or agricultural professor or someone expert, had this strong expertise in this area with some other job position, which is kind of like, oh, because you at that moment, you probably feel like, oh, yeah, I'm super qualified because I've been working in the university and education field for such a long time. And that's something that nobody has.
Yeah, so going back, yes, yeah, so I have created my own niche, like you have done. And that is based on the skills that we have and the accept the challenge that comes with it.
Yes, you challenge.
Know? As you said, like speaking to the camera, it's not something easier.
Yeah.
For me, when I have to do a workshop, I have to come with examples on the go.
Yes.
And those, most of those examples come from my experience by doing gardening.
Mm.
So it's like I'm just telling and sharing what happened with me. And so yes, we became quite knowledgeable and able to share information that and experiences that we have had, but we have created our own niche.
Yes, exactly. So I feel like that's so important, and just kind of emerge nowadays in the AI era where the basic execution jobs can be really done perfectly, at least a lot better by AI, which a lot of people would be like, I'm going to lose my job because I'm just specifically good at doing this task or executing this. So the way out for us, in my opinion, is just really create our own niche, like thinking about what we do. Like, for example, a normal person who, like a farmer who can handle the farmland very well, but they don't have the ability and experience to create workshops. By the way, creating workshops is like a whole nother different thing. And organizing people, doing cohorts, and that's like the organization skill is where some people are like doing that in the company now, but now they don't need them. And then how do we apply to this? And the way we need to think about the skills and our interests, our enthusiasm, and with all the experience, and then create our own niche.
Yes. So with agriculture, with urban gardening, growing food is not going to be taken by AI. We still need some hands-on. Robots can help, but if you have a small garden bed 4 feet by 4 feet, you're not going to have a big investment for managing that small garden, but you still have, you need to know the skills how to grow food and make the best of that space that you have. So nowadays with AI you can have all this advice, and you can get all that advice, but you have to put in practice and say, that advice does work in my garden or does not. And by experience you will start sifting, like, you can tell me that this is good for that, but in my body doesn't work.
And also, like, you interact with human, that's so important. Like, even at one point the robots can grow food for us, but then we're humans, we really like need cognitive energy, like we need a cognitive interaction to improve us, so that way our needs would be different. And that time, then who can do education and organization and also like environmental knowledge and also like growing food, like agricultural thing, and those all combined.
So with growing food, it's not just you put a seed and you water. No, there is a lot we can need to consider: the weather, the wind, the rain, the temperatures, trying to match the vegetables with the right season. Then you have pests that show up, insects like to eat your food. And then you have to find a way how to reduce the amount of infestation in your crops. And finally, you get your beautiful produce. And like you say, I have too many carrots. I cannot eat them at once. What I can do with that? Can I preserve? Can I dry? Can I freeze? Can I put in make some pickles of it? So you are developing more skills, like it, because now you have your carrots in there sitting on top of your counter, and you cannot eat all of them. So you start thinking, I need to find other skills. So that's how you start. From one skill leads to another, and that leads to another skill. And finally, you start saying, by the way, I'm good in doing a mean pickles. I'm good in dehydrating these vegetables. Or I have found an awesome way to cook this cauliflower. Suddenly you didn't realize that you had even cooking skills.
I can see, like now the weather is getting hot, obviously, especially in Europe, or maybe somewhere else like India, right? Because in Vancouver we're too lucky, we just can't feel it at this moment, right? I read those news, and that really make me start to think in the future, like soon future, like not like even 10 years later, like soon future, we're just like really take this very seriously and had a huge demand of people like you to help us to say, how can we really use this land or my neighborhood, this land in my neighborhood or for a country, right? For government to kind of like, how can we change what we have and utilize the function, and then that it can reflect the whole earth to make, like, to protect the earth by connecting with our daily behaviors so that we can eat healthy, but at the same time, we also protect the environment for our next generation.
Yeah, so from the gardening, urban gardening perspective is how we can be create a resilient garden.
Yes.
Yeah, be resilient. Because our gardens in urban environment, we very much depend from the municipality water, municipal water.
Okay.
The tap water, you open the tap. But if we have a restriction on tap water, we won't be able to water our garden. So now, with this increase on temperatures, and for us gardeners, it's great because now I can start growing vegetables here in Vancouver early March. I'm going all the way to November.
Oh.
So my growing season has extended, so which is great for growing food. But the other thing is, like, now we have a bit more rainfall in certain parts of the year.
Mm-hmm.
We have high temperatures over the summer. So now we are looking into which crops are the best to be planted in order to have a resilient garden.
Mm.
And that is what's going to happen in the future. It's happening with agriculture in general, trying to find those crops that are do well with little water, crops that perhaps the growing season is shorter, so we can have more of those crops. So we are at the moment working into a resilient gardening in order to adjust our production to the climate conditions.
Okay, I know, like, there's no commitment, but I do wanted to collaborate with you to host this kind of, like, workshops, because we have a bunch of clients and fans, right, that they are in Vancouver. They have kids, and then themselves, maybe, mostly I know from, like, Vancouver West and South Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And then they definitely wanted to learn more about this because those people really care about enrichment education, and that's part of it too,
yeah.
Right? And then I believe there's some kind of connection will happen, and then we find more opportunities to kind of contribute our skills to a different field, right? And so that is, like, so exciting. But, like, as our show gets towards to the end, I feel we just touched the surface point of what you do and your knowledge. So I do wanted to kind of invite you back in the future, a soon future, to kind of, maybe we can create, like, a mini series to kind of apply, teach people or share with people how to apply this knowledge. And though we can probably try some events here and bring your knowledge and your expertise to the neighborhood outside of the university.
Oh, that would be fantastic. I have some experience working with community centers and encouraging and supporting people to grow their own food under the climate conditions that we have now. As I said, we are looking into more resilient agriculture and more perennial, because we have to move from growing annual vegetables to growing more perennial vegetables, which vegetables means that they last for 2 or 3 years and you can continue harvesting during that time. And our weather here in Vancouver is awesome. Now we are in summer, we are enjoying the summer, but we are, as well as a gardener, we are thinking September is arriving, and when September arrives, the rain season will start.
Don't remind me that.
And if you recall, 3 years ago, we had this huge flooding happening in the lower parts of the Fraser Valley. And yeah, so now we have to say, oh, what happened with my garden if it gets flooded? How I can continue growing food if I get flooded? So no water over the summer, too much water over the fall.
Oh, so by the way, we can still do those things during the winter season?
Yes, we still can grow vegetables during the winter season.
So it's like a constant contribute, because I feel like that's what people wanted to do. Because in the winter, nobody wants to really go out and doing what they do in the summer. So if we can start that right before winter, right? And because it's just kind of getting to the winter season so promptly. But so if we can just kind of plant seed a little bit, and then people have something to do and join our cohort and knowing this thing. training. And during the whole winter season, it becomes something that they can do and expect.
Expect, yes. Yeah. So they're
make the winter less, less cold.
Winter is with the right conditions, we can extend our gardening season year round. So that's the beauty here in the Pacific Northwest.
Or maybe at home, right? Like people can just like gather maybe once a month or something, bring their whatever they grow, and then with the problem that they talk, they find and discuss and go back to keep growing it. And when the spring comes, they have some new things, like new awarding experience and actual foods, right?
Yeah, so if you don't have the space to grow outdoors, what we do, we bring the garden indoors. So
right.
We can have, for instance, microgreens, lots of microgreens, nutritious, rich in nutrients. And now as well, there is the opportunity to grow mushrooms indoors with the right conditions. You can grow just your shiitake mushrooms, your oyster mushrooms indoors. You have your protein growing in your living room.
Now I can't wait to grow some mushrooms. All right. Like now we are officially reached to the ending point of our show today. But yes, please come back to give us a mini series, because some of our audience is saying like, hey, he has a PhD, let him share more. Like, I was like, okay. I want to do that. Like, yeah. And if you're in Vancouver, we will try to organize, and hopefully you can join us and learn from, maybe collaborate with you, right? Like,
that would be great.
Yeah, that would be great. Yes. But if you're just like outside of Vancouver, expecting us to have a mini series and sharing your all the experience from your PhDs, from your life experience, from your teaching experience, and so people can have some fun growing mushrooms or other things at home. Yeah, thank you so much for tuning in. Yeah, thank you. The next show is Jacob's The Art Show, and big shout out to all the staffs and volunteers work at CJSF, this radio station. So if you want to join us live, please go to cjsf.ca or just tune in at 90.1 CJSF FM. And talk to you next week.